Hello and welcome to this Final Boss Fight audio podcast of Masks of Nyarlathotep, where a group of intrepid investigators face ancient horrors and global conspiracies as dark schemes herald the end of the world. My name is Jeff and I am the keeper of arcane lore for this campaign. So, without any further delay, let us begin. Hello and welcome to Final Boss Fight. My name is Jeff and once again I am the keeper of arcane lore for our Masks of Nyarlathotep campaign. I'm joined tonight by Ben, the quest giver.
Hello.
And by Brian Croy Dragon.
Hello.
Robin and Kieran are not able to join us tonight, but we hope that they'll be back with us next time. In the meantime, let's get going. Brian, would you like to give us a recap for the last session?
Yes. Now. This is 5 paragraphs, so if you're planning to wait until, I mean, if you're watching this and having dinner and planning to eat dinner after the recap, you better just start now. Waiting for a call from Rebecca Schovenberg, the investigators went to the New York Public Library to research the narcotic manuscripts, where they met Professor Langton, who informed them the book was not currently in their collection. Having been stolen, with there being no evidence, this happened. As happened at the university and in Boston as well, with Africa's Dark Sex having been stolen from the latter. Len informed Langton that they found the manuscript in Erica Carlisle's safe. They also learned that Aubrey Penhu financed the Carlisle expedition and that security was headed by a Jack Brady. They next went to Emerson Imports due to Jackson Elias's interest in it and Silas using them to procure oddities from Africa. They learned the name of Singh, an individual from Mombasa. While there, they made inquiries about the Black Sphinx and learned it is not from the imports, causing them to be warned about Lester Goodman and learn it is unknown where they get his imports from. Returning to the hotel, Tim received a telegram and met a package. The telegram was from Rebecca Schovenberg, asking to contact her with a phone number. Tim called her and was informed that Millie Adams agreed to talk that evening at the Lafayette Theater in Harlem at 8. Metz had received a Carlisle record providing information about Carlisle having Egyptian-themed dreams driving him insane, becoming infatuated with a mysterious woman, Nayaru, and was exposed to something unknown. A reference to an inverted Ankh caused him to remember reading notations and seeing illustrations about a broken, inverted Ankh. They then went to the Juju House. Flint and Tim went on in and met with Silas, while there the latter saw a mysterious individual with a gun and envelope leave, whom Flint followed and saw leave in a police car. While at the shop, Silas was questioned in regards to a ritual of the new moon involving dancing, a fire, the playing of instruments, etc. After Detective Poole was called and informed about mysterious policeman who turns to be one of Robson's men. And I'm pretty sure that's it.
That is as far as you got. Thank you very much. So, if I remember rightly, the leads that we had this time were you were going to return to Lester Goodman's house. You were going to return to Lester Goodman's shop, asking a bit more about the Black Sphinx because that's been doing some weird stuff. And we've also got the appointment to the Millie Adams later on in the evening. The date is the 20th. One moment, let me confirm the date for you. The date is the 22nd of January, 1925. And I'm going to move us over to the New York map. And you'll find your characters in the bottom right-hand corner.
Great. I was about to say for a second there, didn't you see myself? Well, I don't know whether it's something about the water or what around here, but something isn't catching me off guard. Obviously not as clean as the stuff around where I come from. But, what the hell are we supposed to be doing?
Well, I for one would like to go and question Lester Goodman in regards to the Black Sphinx. It's been acting unusual.
And I'll admit that does sound like a good idea.
Remember
to take some medicine along the way.
Let's give them our aliases, so... so he doesn't know our actual names. I don't trust him.
Probably a good idea. Hey, what did you call yourself again? I can't...
H. Ryder Haggard.
H. Ryder Haggard. I can't remember what he called myself, but I'll come up with something along the way.
Okay.
If it are, you just call me by a... Throw in a nickname, random nickname. Make it believable, I'll go with it.
You make your way... By now, you know where Lester Goodman's shop is very well. This is probably like your third visit here. You arrive at the antique shop, open the door, and once again, it's like rows and rows of antiques and knickknacks. The chandeliers, the elaborate green chandeliers, various Egyptian artifacts, Peruvian artifacts. And at the end of the shop, there's the counter with nobody standing behind it and the bell on the counter.
Tim rings the bell.
Aha, I'm sorry. I was out the back of the shop. I did not see you. Oh, Mr. Haggard, isn't it?
Yes, Mr. Goodman.
So good to see you again. And your friend. I'm sorry I don't recall your name, but you definitely left an impression on me last time you were here. Haha.
Well, I have that effect, no doubt.
Well, what can I do for you today?
Yes, the Black Sphinx has been behaving oddly.
Oh, really? How so?
Words showing up on the bottom of it.
Are you sure? That doesn't sound... Are you sure? Are the words showing on it now?
Tim just pulls it out of his bag/pocket and holds it up. You tell me.
You look on the bottom where you've seen the numbers for the coded message. They are alive. But now the base of the statue is smooth, completely smooth, as if it had been newly polished. Are you sure there was writing on the bottom here, sir? Doesn't look like there's anything now.
I tell you what, why don't you tell us where you got this thing from again?
I have supplies all over the world, although... Now you come to mention it, sir, I got this particular piece, the Sphinx, back in 1919, I believe it was. A chap from Cairo arranged it for me, Warren Bissart. He had some contacts, the antiquities business there, somebody named Faraz Najjar, I believe. Funny thing, though, I lost contact with him soon afterwards. He just stopped returning my messages. Since then, I've had to ask for other...
1919. That would have been the time of the Jackson, Carlisle expedition, wouldn't it?
Now you come to mention it, sir, I believe it was. It was around that time that they went missing, wasn't it? You don't think there's a connection, do you, sir?
Well, there's always a chance. You never know. That's why we're a bit more curious when things start acting around. By chance, in all this time that you happen to be holding on to this, you haven't seen anything which you haven't been able to quite explain, maybe.
Well, sir, I don't examine all my stock like that. I don't recall anything unusual about this. It was unusual in and of itself. A sphinx of black quartz like this is a very unusual find, but can't say I noticed any writing or any numbers on the bottom of it.
Oh, no, I don't mean just like that. I mean anything else happening around it at all. Perhaps it's had an effect around. Maybe it gives off something. I've heard that some radiation can sometimes cause all manner of illusions. So maybe there's a chance.
If that had been the case, sir, I'd have noticed it a long time ago. I'd probably try to sell it for an even higher price if that had been the case.
You probably would. You probably would. Well, as you see, you never know without asking.
Tim, can you make me an intelligence roll, please? And let me know what the score is.
You know what? I think I realized why both Lester and Silas are so creepy.
Is it the eyes?
For Lester, it's the eyes and the mouth.
He's just this friendly guy.
For Silas, it's just the eyes.
It's not a bad way to do things for the sake of psychological horror.
It's a 3, an extreme
success. Tim, when Lester mentions the name Warren Bizarre and Faraz Najjar, a light goes off in your mind. You've heard those names before. Or at least you've read those names before.
Where would I have...
There's a lot of the handouts from New York, but there's one particular handout called Letter from Warren Bizarre.
Oh, Bizarre and... sorry, there's a lot of stuff here.
I'll show it again just to be sure. Are you gonna do something? There we go. Roll 20 is being slow on me, please stand by.
Aye.
There we are. This was a letter that you found, Tim, in Jackson Elias' apartment after he was murdered. Would you like to just read it out for us, just so we can refresh our memories? Yep.
Cairo, Egypt, March 3rd, 1919. Mr. Roger Carlisle House, Briarcliff Manor, New York. Dear Mr. Carlisle, your lawyer informed me that you seek certain knowledge of this land in its distant past, and I believe I can aid in this regard. Inquiries in the old quarter have identified one Faraz Najjar in the street of Jackons, who claims to be in possession of singular curios which he believes will be of great interest to you. He is prepared to part with these items if a suitable price can be agreed upon, and I shall endeavor to make sure that matters are arranged to your satisfaction. Yours, M. Warren Bizarre.
And that flashes up in your mind when Lester talks about Warren Bizarre as his contacts in Cairo.
Warren Bizarre, you said. Tell me, have you ever gotten any singular curios from a Faraz Najjar?
I believe Mr. Bizarre had Perez Najar is one of his contacts, was one of the people he got his stock from. In fact, the Sphinx you're holding in your hand, I believe that came from Mr. Najar. I haven't been able to get in contact with either of them since, well, for a few years now, since 1919. So, for all I know, they may be dead or still in Cairo or somewhere.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman.
Anything else I can help you with?
Mm-hmm. Have we actually gone to see that Carlisle? Carlisle House and all?
You did. That's where you met Erica Carlisle.
Don't worry, coming back to me, sorry. I did not prepare as well as I should have when I came into this.
That's all right.
Well then, have you had any? Are there any other curiosities which have come from the same location, or anything else which has come from these?
I had a couple of things. I had a model of a sculpture of a pharaoh, very unusual pharaoh. But I believe Mr. Carlisle purchased. I believe Roger Carlisle purchased that one.
And what would be so unusual about this one? Would it be another one of Akhenaten?
No, this was a pharaoh that nobody seemed to know very much about. Certainly not one from the texts. Can't recall if there was a name on it or if the hieroglyphs showed a name for it, but Roger Carlisle was very eager to get hold of that one.
That could be of interest, then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's face it, the Sphinx and the Pharaoh kind of go together a little bit, don't they?
Yes. Let's see here. If I recall correctly, the Sphinx was... Pharaoh. I can't remember who precisely. And one future pharaoh did sleep between the paws of the Sphinx and be told that he would ascend to the throne as long as he kept the Sphinx clean, if I remember correctly. Clean of sand.
Clean of sand, eh? That's certainly interesting. Let's see. I mean, one thing which might be of interest is to try and see if we can get our hands on that pharaoh. Because if it does have any significance. And as far as I recall, I don't think we're in probably the greatest set to go back, but I'm sure we can find a reason to get our foot in the door.
Yes, that would be... Oh, that's it. It was Caffrey. That's who the Sphinx is said to represent. Pharaoh Caffrey of the 4th Dynasty. There we go.
And Lester Goodman is still standing there with that very wide, toothy smile on his face. Is there anything else you'd like, sir? Anything else I can do for you? Some Peruvian latest imports from Peru? Some more... Egypt. I believe there's some new things from Egypt, or possibly even... I think there might be some things here from China as well, from Shanghai, if that's of any interest to you.
It's not to say they won't have any interest to us, but thank you for the time being. I reckon if nothing else, we've probably got ourselves a nice little trip over to the Carlisle again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the meantime, we'll say goodbye, but I'm sure I'll have interest to come back and peruse everything which you happen to have.
Of course, sir. I look forward to seeing you. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
This is,
They just call me Willy.
Mr. Willy. Yes, Mr. Willy. The Hayguard, so good to see you.
I'm going to regret that down the line of whispering. Yeah.
Wish you remembered the... Wish we all remembered the previous alias.
So, you leave the shop and it's probably about 5 o'clock, so you've got some time to get back to the hotel, get something to eat before your appointment to meet Rebecca Schosenberg and Millie Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Right, we have a little bit of time. Do you want to see if we can maybe get our foot in the door now?
Yes, that sounds like a perfectly good idea.
Hell, have we got as much chance as anybody else? Right, you've got the charisma. I've got the gunpowder. I'm sure we'll be fine.
What's you planning to do?
Well, I think... Try and do a quick trip over to the Carlisle house and see if we can see any information about that Pharaoh.
I think it's safe to say the Carlisle house is a bit outside the main city of New York. Just bear with me one moment.
Forgot about that side of things.
However, they are available on the telephone.
Alright, well, we can try doing a phone call. I can be intimidating, and I know that side of things, and I know I can swindle a few things together, but I have a feeling that you're probably going to be a better talker than I am.
Yes, let's just ring them up.
All right. I'll be just to the side. You got anything? You just sort of repeat the question, and I'll see if I can throw something back at you.
Okay.
You phone up, you ring the house. It's a public number, so you phone the house, and... A few moments, the phone is answered.
Yes, Carlisle House. This is Bradley Gray speaking, of Dunstan, Whittleby and Gray Solicitors. Whom am I speaking to?
Tim Sullivan.
Mr. Sullivan. Yes, you came to visit a few days ago with your friends, didn't you?
Yes, indeed.
Is there anything I can do for you? Miss Carlisle was quite firm in not wishing to be disturbed again.
We'd like some information about a mysterious pharaoh. A very unusual piece of work that the late Carlisle may have acquired.
Unusual pharaoh. That's certainly a...
We do not mean Akhenaten, so nothing like that.
Oh, no, of course not, sir. Who's Akhenaten? I don't know who Akhenaten is. In that case, it's an unusual quest, but I don't see any harm in doing my best to answer your question. If I can do this without bothering Miss Carlisle, that's all the better. Let me see. I do have Mr. Carlisle's accounts nearby. One moment, please.
And you can hear him rummaging through his papers.
How's it going, Tim? Is it going good? Right. I get it, shut up. Got it.
Yes. I do have a receipt here from a L. Goodman antique store for a black pharaoh sculpture. Paid $120 from it by the looks of it. Purchased in 1919. That's strange. I don't believe I've seen this around the house. It's possible he took it with him when he went on the expedition.
Yes, and anything particularly peculiar about it?
Nothing from the receipt here, and of course you understand, sir, that such things are not my field of expertise. I believe this was before my employment with Carlisle.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry I couldn't be of more help.
That's quite all right.
Click.
It would seem that the Black Pharaoh, the statue we're looking for, may have been taken by Carlion on an expedition.
Well, that's an interesting one. Why would you take it on again, on the thing with you?
That's a wonderful question. One does not particularly bring a statue on an expedition with you. It could be stolen or broken.
Aye. Unless you need to take it along for something else. Although yes. I suppose we do know that sometimes these parts have a little bit more to them. And already the Sphinx itself has been revealing a bit. The fact that it's a Black Pharaoh as well, that's interesting. If it's made of the same stone, maybe it has the same effects, in which case perhaps there's something else hidden inside that one. I don't think I'm going to be letting this one go for a while.
Well, on that note, Denver, can you make me an intelligence roll?
Aye.
Just putting this out here, but I put a picture of a statue of Akhenaten in general in case you want, because I'm not sure if you guys heard of him or...
I've not, but I'd be interested to do a bit more research, actually.
I recognise the statue, though. I'll say that much. Right, that was a success. Regular success.
Good. Let me see if I can find the relevant notes, because... Again, something around in your mind. If I can find the...
I must admit, I was imagining being sat next door flicking through what we had.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything while you were doing that chat.
Well, something goes in your mind. Black Pharaoh, Black Pharaoh, Black Pharaoh. A pharaoh is a king.
Yes.
Aye.
That help you narrow down your search any?
I'm now taking another quick look. There was a king. I'm going to be kicking myself in a second, aren't I?
You are. This is Jackson Elias's London notes.
Okay, well, final letter, Nairobi, London.
Got it. Right. Oh, yes! That has been a while. Of course, I remember even jolting down that picture.
It's me.
No concert, but... Trying to find the relevant part before I read it out.
It is the paragraph right before that diagram.
A great deceiver. That great deceiver. The power and the danger is real. Who is really evil here? All of them. Some of them, pawns. Who is the Grand Master? Pawn sacrifice is the safest move. Direct attack against the Black King would be insane. As if that would stop whoever. Impossible to play to a draw. So is this turning into a game of chess? Now we have a Black King. I suppose, going by your analogy of chess, you could always place that the Sphinx might well be a knight of sorts.
I pointed this out to Professor Metz in the last session. I pointed this out to you as well, because I think, Tim, you would have heard this from Metz. Looking at that diagram... that symbol of the circle with the cross on top of it?
That's an Ankh.
It could also be an upside down Ankh, which is a reference you've come across before. And of course, nearby, down the left, you've got the symbol that you know very well of the other cult.
Aye. That symbol as well seems to be very much on. Are they playing against each other? And if one's playing as white and the other is black.
I'm not sure.
Probably is that?
There may be more information that comes to light about this, but certainly stuff to ponder.
If it is chess, and if the black is Egypt, then what is the white? The Hittites, the Romans, the Persians, the Sea People?
It's a theory.
Oh, aye. Mainly just a theory, but still.
So, with that, it is coming on time for your appointment to see Miss Schosenberg and Miss Adams at the Lafayette Theatre in Harlem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we better go see Miss Adams. Mrs. Adams?
Mrs. Adams, of course, that's my mistake.
Aye.
So, I have brought us over to the map of Harlem, and I've marked on the map the locations of the Juju House, where you have paid several visits, and the Lafayette Theatre, where you have been asked to meet Rebecca Schosenberg.
They're nearby.
There are a few blocks away from each other, yes.
Hmm. Well, let's see. So I'm getting myself distracted by a whole manner of different bits.
The brains, you can see the cogs whirring in Denver Smith's brain.
It's going to whir away in one of us. Even if everyone also already knows what they're talking about.
Yes, well.
Hang on a second. There is a sarcophagus.
A sarcophagus?
I was thinking back when we were taking a look over with Red Jake and the farmhouse and all that incident. And going through everything which we'd gone through beforehand. Because I was the forehead symbol, that's what caught me more than anything else to start off with. Because that's the symbol that we've seen. I don't know if you want to flag that back up again there, Jeff.
Which one,
everyone can see what I'm talking about. Edge of Darkness, forehead symbol.
Of course, one moment.
Just tell me if that does not look like the one which we've seen with Jackson Elias' last note.
There we are. I'll just flag this up. My roll 20 is being really slow, and I'm not entirely sure why.
Does seem a bit laggy today.
It is a bit laggy today. That is the symbol that from the police report on Marion Allen's death. And you weren't there for this, Denver, but
Tim.
You were there for that incident.
Right.
You're not there for this next incident that I'm about to show.
Ah, gotcha.
Tim, you were, and you recall the state of Jackson Elias's body in that room.
There was a mark on his forehead.
Ooh. Are you telling me it looked the same?
I believe so. There's something terribly sinister going on here.
Well, whatever the situation, they obviously didn't want him to carry on looking into whatever he was looking into. But we found the connection. The main reason I bring that one up, if I remember correctly, there was a sarcophagus. Well, in all about seekers of wisdom. And I don't know whether this is. I have a feeling this might be more connected than we thought.
Yes, most likely. The only question is how.
Well, they're close to each other, that's for sure. And if maybe going along with that analogy of the chessboard, these are two cults which are trying to use these artifacts for their own deeds.
Possibly opposing cults.
This situation might well be trying to take over from each other.
Well, that's embarrassing. I just noticed that I spelled theatre wrong. That's embarrassing. Theatre. Anyway, so can we say then that you're discussing this as you?
I say it's pretty much as we're on our way.
Okay.
Yeah.
You arrive at the Lafayette Theatre in Harlem, and probably as you approach, you see a familiar figure. Well, a familiar figure to Tim, waving at you, and it's Rebecca. Psst, Mr. Sullivan, over here.
Miss Schoenberg.
Over
Hello.
Here. Yes, good to see you again. Mr. Locke and Mr. Metz not able to make it tonight.
Allow me to introduce you to Denver Smith, another friend of ours.
Nice to meet you.
It's an honor to meet you, make your acquaintance.
This way, be quick, be kept, be, keep it low, this way. And she waves you to the back entrance of the theatre, where you see another figure standing there waiting for you. I'll leave this one up. And this one is someone you have not met before, but it is not too hard to deduce that this is Millie Adams.
Yeah, Mrs. Adams, I presume.
Quickly. No, don't. Quickly, come in. And she ushers the three of you, Rebecca and the two of you, into the theatre. And then she closes the door and locks the door. Right, we can talk now. Yes, I'm Millie Adams. Rebecca says that you're able to help.
Yes,
as much as we're able, absolutely.
You're not lawyers or solicitors or anything.
Oh heavens, no.
And she turns to Rebecca. I thought you were going to get me lawyers. I thought you were going to get somebody who could actually. And Rebecca says, these people can help. What can they do? What can they do to help me? What can they do to help me help Hilton?
We've been investigating various things which may be connected.
Like what? What have you been investigating?
The murder of our friend Jackson Elias, the disappearance of the Carlisle expedition.
Hold on, Tim. Hold your tongue for a second.
Hmm?
Why are we telling you everything that we have been looking into?
Why should I tell you anything? Rebecca tells me you can help, but why should I tell you? Why should I tell you anything?
Because if we can help, we want to know that we can help. Now, we can start going on about a few things. Yes, we are looking into the mysterious circumstances of a few murders which have been connected recently. And we want to know exactly what's happened to them. At the same time, we have no idea who we can trust around here. Are you someone which we can trust?
She looks across...
I look intimidating as possible is a case of... I want to know that I can trust you before I see anything. Because at the moment, the lives of my other allies could well be in danger right now. And this mystery may not get undone, but there's something bigger afoot here, and I want to make sure it's taken care of. And I want to make sure, are you going to be a hindrance? In which case, you can deal with your own problem yourself. Or are you going to be an ally? In which case, I will do everything in my goddamn power to make sure you're safe as well. And to try and take care of whatever problem is lying on your shoulders.
She looks at you. I'm not going to make you make a roll for this. She looks at you. She looks at Rebecca. And Rebecca gives her a nod. And Millie says, okay. I think... If you mean what you say, I think I can trust you. And she takes you into the main auditorium. It's after hours, there's nobody there, but it's like the main auditorium of the theatre where there's obviously rows and rows of seats, and she just indicates for you to sit down on the seats, and she does the same, and I guess you want to know what happened from the beginning.
That'll be good.
It started a few years ago. Some locals from this area, from the Harlem area, they went missing. And Hilton, my husband, he was concerned about it. The police did nothing about it, of course. The police didn't really care about it. They looked the other way. But Hilton wanted to do something. He got together with a group of friends. There was a saloon, Teddy's Saloon, where they all used to get together and drink and remember the war. They all served in the Harlem Hellfighters, and he brought them together to form like a community watch, a neighborhood watch, to try and keep the community safe. We tried going to the police to tell them what was happening, but the police didn't take us seriously. They didn't do anything about it. But even after the bodies started appearing, mutilated bodies appearing on the streets, the police still refused to do anything. They said it was gang violence. They said it was street robberies. There was some guy called Mordecai Lemming who tried to put forward a theory that it was African death cults, but the police didn't even bother listening to him either. They called him some crank with too much time on in his hands. But Hilton took it seriously. He followed up on that link, on the death cult link, and he found something in the library, in the New York Public Library, about some long dead cult from East Africa. He never told me what it was called, but he used to keep a journal, and he marked the journal with this strip of red ribbon. But the police confiscated it. They caught up with him. They confiscated all his notes. They warned him to stay away. They even tried to get to him and his friends through their employers, through their families, through their neighbors, and the pressure got to them. But Hilton did find evidence that there was a cult operating in Harlem. And it's possible as well that they were paying the police to turn a blind eye. I did hear him mention something the night before he was arrested. He mentioned the Juju House. Something. He was talking to his friend Needham Johnson, and he mentioned the Juju House. But he was arrested shortly afterwards. They found him. The police found him standing over the body of a middle-aged man near the Harlem branch of the New York Public Library. And they police claimed that they heard the dying man screams. They claimed that they'd seen Hilton throw away a knife covered with blood. And they used that as evidence against him. They used it to convict him of the murder. That's... He didn't do it. I know he didn't do it. He couldn't have done it. He couldn't have done it.
I'm sorry, you said the death cult comes from East Africa?
Yes. Yes. That's what Hilton said.
That's where Kenya is, where one Silas Nkwani claims to come from.
You've met Silas Nkwani?
Yes.
You want to watch yourself around him? I've been keeping an eye on that as much as I can.
What can you tell us about him?
Well, I've never been inside. I've not been able to go inside, but I've been keeping a watch on it. There's a building nearby which is abandoned. I've been able to keep a watch from there. But about once a month, from what I saw, about once a month, they have about 20 to 30 people all going into that shop in the early hours of the morning. Some look like tramps. I've seen them around on the streets. Others look like blue-collar workers, construction workers. You may have seen them working with my husband, but I don't recognise any of them, really. And there was one night. I remember one night I was there on one of these gatherings where there were about 20 to 30 people, and before they arrived, about an hour before they arrived, I saw crates into the shop. I thought it must have been some sort of speakeasy or booze going into the shop. But after these disappearances that have been happening, I'm not so sure. There's also been police going in there as well. I've seen them going in daylight hours, police going into the shop and then coming out again. Hilton said that the local police, the precinct, was corrupt, but I don't know.
I mean, to be fair, there's always a chance of any precinct being corrupt. Sadly, I don't think there's much of a way getting away from that.
Do you think you'll be able to find anything to help Hilton?
We think we may be able to. We'll try our best. If this death cult is from East Africa, then it seems like Nkwani might be connected to it.
I tell you what, I can try and get in contact with with my husband at Sing Sing and see if I can get him to speak to you, see if the guards will let him speak to you, and I can also try and get you an introduction to his friends, the Harlem Hellfighters, although I wouldn't put much stock by them ever since Hilton got arrested. They've just withdrawn into themselves, they've just kept quiet, kept their heads down, kept on with their jobs. I tried to get them to help, but they wouldn't help.
Hmm. Thank you. Well, we'd love to talk to your husband.
Aye, any information would be very handy.
Of course.
I'll get us one steps closer, of course.
If there's anything else that I can tell you, please don't let me know, or let Rebecca know. She knows how to contact me.
Aye, we'll do that. In the meantime, hold hope. That's all we have for the time being.
Mr. Smith, it's been that long, I've almost forgotten what hope is.
And hopefully we can give it back to you, and you will be reminded quickly. For now, we've got work to do. But thank you very much for your time.
And Rebecca shows you the way back out, and Rebecca says, I know you mean well, but don't promise more than you can deliver. She's been through a lot. And this thing, this affair with her husband, I want to see him released as well, but it's destroying her.
I aim to do exactly what I see, otherwise I don't see it. But I appreciate exactly what you're saying. We'll get results, and then we'll bring our hopes back. In that order.
I hope you can, Mr. Smith. For her sake, I hope you can. As you make your way back from the Lafayette Theatre, can I ask both of you to make me spot hidden roles, please?
There you are.
Hard success. 24 versus
71. Wow, I failed for a change.
Not bad at all. Denver, you're probably thinking about the conversation you just had.
To be fair, that and as well, I sort of remembered something, but we'll come to that in a second.
Of course. You, Tim, you're looking around and you see a familiar figure waiting for you at the end of the block.
Oh, that proboscis monkey-nosed bastard.
And he's not alone this time. There are two other uniformed officers, big beefy uniformed officers with him. Well, I thought I told you to keep your heads down, keep your nose out of things that don't concern you. But what have we here?
Sir, if I had a nose like yours, I wouldn't be telling people to keep their nose out of things.
Yeah, and if I had a mouth like yours, I'd be lying. I would end up in a gutter somewhere very quickly.
Well, what's so wrong with us? Just spending a little night in the town.
Oh, nothing at all. Nothing at all. It's just who you're spending it with.
Lovely ladies.
I hear you've been asking some questions of people about stuff that concern you.
And how exactly do you know what stuff concerns us, and doesn't he?
Well, it's my job to know these things, sir. This is my patch, after all. It's my job to know what goes on around here.
Aye. So what on earth do you think we've been doing?
Well, Mr. Sullivan... I hear you've been asking about the Hilton Adams case.
It's very interesting. Nothing wrong with a bit of curiosity, is there now?
Well, you know what they say about curiosity.
Well, I've heard multiple variations.
The one where they curiously not just killed the cat, but left it lying face down in the Hudson River.
Yes, well... The clouded leopard is one of the predators of the proboscis monkey, so I wouldn't go around calling us cats.
Oh, Mr. Sullivan, I thought your area of expertise was Egypt, not the jungles of Africa.
You can have a hobby.
That's Asia, you...
And Mr. Smith, yeah, I've heard about you too. That business in the army, that was how you left. I'm sure you wouldn't want that come to light.
My history is mine. And though there are records and all that side of things, and I'm sure my story will be told by many others, it isn't over yet.
Just bluffing a little bit there, let's be honest. look, I'll give you one last warning, friendly warning. If you don't behave yourselves, me and my my boys here, and the two policemen, just like, you know, looking very swarthy, very hard, we're gonna have to tell you more in a more direct way, not to poke your nose where it doesn't belong, teach you how to mind your own business like everybody else here does.
I'm gonna try something here, and it's probably not my forte.
Okay.
But still, I'm gonna try and act like I'm intimidated. And sort of caught back for a second.
Okay.
And then sort of half like a whisper and a question, audible enough, but almost like I'm trying to make it sound like I'm not trying to say it aloud, like I'm trying to catch myself so that he might think he's caught me on something.
Okay.
And just going, like you did in Harlem.
I'm going to ask you for a roll for this. Make me a fast talk. Make me a fast talk roll.
Fast talk roll. That's a failure. 94 over 45. Can we play by D&D rules?
It's not a fumble. It's not a fumble. He narrows his eyes at you like he's not taken in, but there's lots of things that goes on in Harlem, Mr. Smith. It can be a very unpleasant place to be. I would hate to have more murders on my desk.
I must admit, getting that blood off your hands is a bit difficult.
Well, it's a dirty job, but as they say, someone has to do it.
Aye. Someone does. I steal up my resolve again. Well, gentlemen, I guess you've got a very busy night ahead of you by the sounds of things, and as you say, we should probably be getting ourselves back off into our own business. What do you say?
I think that's a very sensible idea. I think it'd be sensible for all of us to go about our business and keep our nose out of things that don't concern us. And with that, he just like, not even bidding you goodnight or saying goodbye, he just like turns around and leaves, and the two other tough police officers, they just like stare at you, then they just also turn around and walk away.
I kind of want to follow them. Keeping a distance, of course.
I'll let you follow them. They take... Well, you follow them. Make me a... Have a roll for this. Make me a stealth roll, just to see how well you follow them. It's not too bad.
Hang on a second.
Spend luck on that if you wish to. Yep.
I'll spend the luck.
10 points of luck for that.
Aye. Sorry, I'm doing it. There we go. Luck has been spent, but it's now a success.
So, what I will say for that is, you follow them for a few blocks, and they are going to the Juju house. You see them knock on the door. They speak to the owner, Silas Nkwane, but you're too far away to be able to tell what they're saying. And after a few moments, the door closes again, and then they carry on along their way.
Right. Well, that's at least one suspicion confirmed. Mind you, if there are two different cults going on at the same time, if we can figure out which one they're on, perhaps we can use this to our own advantage.
Yes, perhaps.
Oh, don't forget, my friend. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I think that's something they'd drink on, if nothing else. Now I just need to figure out which one they are. In which case, I think at one point we're going to need to go to that juju as well.
Yes, indeed.
Mind you, it might be best to wait until we're a bit more, bodied. I have a feeling us going in by ourselves is not going to do us as many favors as we'd like.
With that, you return to your hotels, and unless there is anything else in particular you would like to discuss or do before you turn in for the night?
There is one thing I'd like to bring up. And just for the sake of, obviously, the Black Pharaoh. I started thinking about a few other bits and a few places and other bits. You remember one of those books from the Carlisle House?
Hmm?
One of them was about a brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh, wasn't it?
Yes, you're right.
And thinking back, well, I'm only going by rough bits of information which I'm sort of piecing and holding together. That was around something 1805 or something like that, and our bits which we were doing over at that farmhouse was, what, 1815, 1870? It was 1870. There is a chance that maybe these things are a lot more connected than we were thinking. The real question comes down to is why exactly was Carlisle looking into that book and looking for that information?
Yes, indeed.
And if it is connected, how exactly does it slot into this giant puzzle we have in front of us?
Well, that's certainly a question to be asked.
Do kind of wonder if maybe the other book, there was one which was mentioned in the diaries, and I'm going to say this is going way back and sort of flicking through bits and pieces which we had and going through my own little field notes of sorts. That's the one it's called again, the Veramus Mysterious. I can't help but believe that this is another book which is going to have use to us if we can find. Well, if we can remember, if we can hold on to anything. Fact of the matter is, I don't think it was there. I can't remember it being there when we were.
It was not there, no, it's not.
No.
The books from the library.
I know it was one of the books from the Carlisle. I've seen the ones which we had there, and I remember going back to the Edge of Darkness. I don't remember there being a book there. I remember having the transcribed ritual, which we had to go through.
Yes, the Vermis Mysterious was the one that you've been told had been stolen from the library.
Aye. I half wonder whether maybe that one has a tie-in somewhere. Just a thought for the time being, but it does take me back to looking through and seeing whether maybe there's a bit more which I need to take a look into. It's that little note that happened to be inside.
Certainly an idea.
I think these thoughts are running through your head, pointing your head as you return to the hotel, the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, and turn in for the night. I think we're going to bring this episode to a close. It's been a short episode, but I think it seems like a natural stopping point, especially.
I think I'd agree with you there.
And next time, we will see what happens as the next day dawns, the 23rd of January dawns. So, thank you both very much for playing. It's been good actually. It's been good. It's like, you know, getting back into it, getting all the connections.
It's been a nice one to get the feet back into roleplay. It's been a little while for me.
Oh. With that, let's do our stars and our wishes. I'm going to start with Ben. What was your stars and wishes? Something you liked, something you'd like to see more of?
To be fair, seeing a bit more of that note unraveling of Jackson Elias's mysterious London note. And finally putting some pieces together about that drawing a few of the bits.
Mm.
It's a nice little thing to start seeing, and I want more of that. I like these parts where it's now becoming, it's more of the mystery side of things rather than it's just, we could have got in with so many in the past where it's been a lot more on action based rather than it being so much on solving a mystery. But I like that this is turning into a bigger mystery to solve rather than just being a load of action, which is very entertaining. But I like big puzzles. Let's put it that way.
Brian.
Not sure. But I liked, I really liked the running, the sort of running gag we had with Arca Norton.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Coming up. And, I don't know. Getting more information on the death count. Yeah, I liked when everything started clicking together of the Crawney's connection.
Okay.
Wishes, maybe all of us next time.
Always a wish, that's always a wish. For myself, I think I'm going to echo Ben's. It is very good to see, like, you know, this is what I like about Call of Cthulhu. I've always liked the mystery side of it. It's not just about, like, you know, action and fighting. There's another version of it called Pop Cthulhu, which is very much like Indiana Jones, the Mummy, like non-stop wall-to-wall action. But I like the more the taking it slower, thinking, putting things together, and watching you put things together is always great as well. So. That's
glad to hear that.
That's my star. Like, you know, seeing these connections being made, and
I personally sometimes struggle with mysteries. So I don't know. Just the fact that it's clicking together is
it's a good feeling.
Easily so, especially when it comes down to that. Even the little bits where we've gone away and done different parts of this game. And yeah, where it feels like it's a side quest and has absolutely nothing to do with it, and you come into this and realize, no, it's connected. Is a wonderful thing. It's like, oh. Because now it's I want to now go through all of the information we came across on that side of things to see if I can try to tie it in again to this.
That's one of the reasons I make all the handouts available on the available to you as players, so that you can go through it. If like you can go through and look at it again at your leisure. So, like, you know, because you will miss things the first time around, and then something will suddenly make sense, and you like quickly looking back through the letters to see what it is. So,
and also, I have one theory which I'm sort of half speculating on at the moment, which is I'm not quite sure how everything works in America for the sake of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm half beginning to wonder whether that chessboard setup is almost like the different. It'll actually sort of translate to a part of the map in particular, for the sake of obviously everything is sort of set out in quite a block like pattern with the different avenues and the streets and such forth. If you were to sort of translate and make that simplified, that effectively these are actually parts of the map instead.
We'll have to find out if you're right.
I have no idea whether it's got any point to it at all, but. But so if I can find, we can find one part which ties in quite succinctly. It's a theory which can be tested out. Of literally, if we move across and go up, and oh look, there's something there.
it's a good theory. I like it as a theory, but yet to see whether it comes out or not.
Once again,
puzzles. It's I sort of feel like I want to solve now. As I think we found out when it came down to the Codex one.
there is the theories channel available on our Discord, so please start putting stuff down there.
I think what I'm going to be doing personally is, as I said before, I need to catch up. I need to do that side of things. I've been playing off. I need to do a catch up, and I suggest anyone who's listening to do the exact same thing. And start going through everything, because there's something bigger going on here, and we need you to start theorizing as well.
Yeah, that could be a fun viewer game as well. If anybody wishes to take part, make your own notes, make your own theories.
Yeah.
And with that, I think we will bid you a very good night. We do have a YouTube channel where you'll be able to see this recording, or you're seeing this recording, you're watching this recording, and recording of all our previous episodes of Mass and the Isle at Totep. You'll be able to see the our other campaigns, Horror on the Orient Express as well, and our Dungeons and Dragons campaigns and everything else that we do. We do have a Discord server where you'll be able to chat about this and any of our other games. The link is below in the video description. And we have a Twitch channel where you'll be able to watch us live playing some of our games. And yeah, we will see you. We will see you all very shortly. Thanks very much for watching, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Masks of Nyarlathotep, a Final Boss Fight audio podcast with Ben the Questgiver as Denver Smith, Kieran as Professor Eckhart Metz, Brian Croy Dragon as Tim Sullivan, and Robin as Flint Locke. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review. This episode was originally broadcast on Twitch at twitch.tv/Final Boss Fight Live. We stream this and other games and campaigns every month, with video replays on YouTube and an active Discord community. For further details, visit our website, finalbossfights.co.uk. Until next time, take up your sword and let's take this final boss down together.